They don't have guests, they have contestants. 10 Questions with Kyle Brandt is the perfect game show and talk show hybrid that you need. Check out 10 Questions exclusively on Spotify.
What's up, everybody? We're back. Another week for R2C2. We got a bonus episode this week. This is Friday. Ryan Rucco is doing the women's final four. So I got my man, John Jastrzemski, with me because I thought it was important to get Francisco Lindor on the podcast. So John was kind enough to help me come do this. What's up, bro?
CeCe, this is like bucket list shit for me right here. One of my favorite Yankees I'm doing a podcast with. I mean, this is how you get introduced to the ringer, man. Future Hall of Famer, shooting the breeze. What's up, bro? What's happening, man? I'm in great spirits. I'd be in even better spirits if the Yankees could have got a big hit yesterday, aside from Gary Sanchez, man. Just saying, you know?
I want to start off saying congratulations on the podcast with the ringer. Gary came up big. It was tough, man. Toronto pitched good yesterday. And it got late, and that Merriweather kid came in the shadows, and he was disgusting. So hopefully Yankees will be able to, you know, I want them to be able to score runs without hitting homers. You know, put together a 5-6-7 hit inning, you know, where they're just hitting doubles, you know what I mean, and just barreling some balls and not necessarily scoring runs off of, two-run and three-run homers.
Well, CeCe, I'm thinking that Gleyber Torres this year has MVP breakout season written all over him. And I know your last year he was a beast, and I know a lot of people wondering, all right, is his defense going to be where it needs to be? I just get the sense this year G is going to beast, man. Am I crazy for that? I think he's the guy I'm looking at in the lineup where Judge, I know I'm going to get. DJ, I know what I'm going to get. Stanton, if he plays, is going to hit a ton of home runs. Gleyber, though, man, if he's right, I mean, he's going to be right there with Lindor and all those guys who are like top players within the sport.
1,000%. And for the Yankees to get to where they want to get to, Glaber's going to have to be that guy in the middle of the diamond, making all the plays. Not necessarily, you know, hitting 280 with 30, but he's going to have to make every play and make some spectacular plays up the middle too. So I said this on the podcast earlier that if the Yankees are to get to the World Series and win the World Series, Gleyber's got to be the MVP of the Yankees. So he's got to be the best player for us this year, and hopefully he can show up and do that.
I like that. And by the way, it is nice having a guy every fifth day. I know he gave up that home run to Hernandez yesterday, but man, I got spoiled watching you, watching Andy. It's nice. It's nice now knowing every fifth day we're good because Garrett Cole's on the mound. And you by the way, I thought Gary looked good with Cole yesterday. He looked really good.
He looked really good with Cole yesterday. He had an all-around great game. For me, it's just being able to watch a guy go out there every fifth day and give absolutely every fucking thing that he has. You know what I'm saying? Like, Garrett's going to give you everything that he has for 100 to 120 pitches. And that's what I tried to do. I know that's what Andy tried to do. So for you to recognize that in him and appreciate that, like, I love that about him. Like, I love watching him pitch because I know it's max fucking effort and he's leaving everything out there, whether it's fucking April 1st or October 31st. You know what I'm saying? And it's always the same. So I love that about him.
Did you give Cole last year that, like, CC Sabathia pep talk? You know, like, were you, like, you know, from one ace to another, like, you know, kind of passing? I don't know if that was reported. Did he, like, reach out and say, hey, Big C, how do I get it done, big boy?
You know what? Me and him have been, I've been knowing Garrett since he was a senior in high school.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So we've had a long relationship. We've known each other for a long time. So not necessarily, you know, giving him that pep talk. I gave him that talk at the All-Star game in 2019.
You were planting the seed. Even though you were retiring, you were planting the seed. You're a New Yorker.
I was retiring. I was retiring, and I knew that he was coming up on free agency. I spent that whole week with Garrett. Like, if you see pictures of us during BP and shagging and stuff, I'm with him the whole time. And that's what I'm telling him, what it is to be a Yankee, what it is to be the Yankees ace, what it's like living in New York. And that's what I knew for me, that I knew he wanted to come here. And I knew, that's why I told Cash, you're going to have to pay this guy, but if you can get him to anchor our staff, you know, every fifth day you're going to get a guy that's going to go out there and give you max effort, and you're going to have a really good chance to win.
CeCe, I got to admit this, bro. As fired up as I was to do this podcast with you, I was a little nervous with this Lindor stuff because I said, man, he's coming on. If he don't have a contract, I'm going to have to ask him, bro, how you walking away from like 10 at $300 million? Because listen, if I don't do it, man, people are going to be like, what's wrong with JJ? Has he got any balls? He's got any stones? Met fans are going to want to know.
You know what's crazy?
What's up?
We don't think about the number. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's not, and that sounds crazy, right? Like, you don't think about the number. Like for us to be talking about $325 million, it's like, yeah, it's mind-blowing. But for him, that's the world he's living in.
That's the market,
he just
yeah,
saw Tatis get 340. He just seen Mookie get 325. He's seen Trout get 4 whatever. Like, this is the atmosphere that he lives in. You know what I'm saying? So it's not crazy for him to turn down 325. Like, it's crazy for us to say it and us to be thinking it. But, like, for him, it's like, nah, that's not what – no. You got to pay me a little bit more because he just paid this guy 340. So, I mean, I definitely got to get more than – what he got, and that's just how you, that's how you think about it. You know what I'm saying?
Business.
Like, yeah, it's business. You don't lose no sleep over it. Ain't like, how am I walking around turning down 325? You don't give a fuck. Like, it is what it is. Like, this is my world. You know what I'm saying?
But it would be super tough though, like coming to New York and having that like, like, he's a stud. He probably would have been fine. But like, CeCe, guys get off to slow starts. I mean, you did in 09. Piazza was a Hall of Famer, did in 98. Like, that first week, bro, if you go, like, 2 for 20, and it's like, man, you walked away from 10 at 300-plus, like, you know it's going to be a media narrative until you put the pen in the paper. So I guess for him in New York, now he don't got to worry about that at least.
Yeah, no, I mean, it could be a problem here in New York, but, you know, I'm just thinking, talking out loud as, like, an athlete that's been in that situation. You never really – it's weird because it's – the numbers don't matter to you. Like, it's you don't really think about how much money it is what I'm saying. You know, like, you don't, I mean, obviously coming from where he came from, Puerto Rico, you know, it's hard to think about, you know, making $325 million or even turning it down and signing a $341 million deal. But like I said, that's just the world you live in as a superstar athlete.
And you think about those contracts, CeCe, you know, I go back to yours. And I think no matter what happened, your sixth year, your seventh year, I always said CeCe paid that contract in the first 4 years because he was a beast. He was the ace. He delivered when he was in the prime of his career. Listen, if you're great in year 9, year 10, like some fans are like, oh, well, how do you give a guy a 10-year contract? Well, when you're 27 or 28 and you're one of the 10 or 15 best players in baseball, yeah, you're getting 8, 9, 10 years. And if you don't like it, you ain't signing him.
And you just better hope he produces until he's 34. You know what I'm saying? Like 34 or 35. If he can produce at the rate that he is now until he's 34 or 35, it's a great deal. Period. It is what it is. You know what I'm saying? Like if he takes a decline at 36, 37, 38, I mean, and he still had the numbers that he had, you know, from 28 to 34, that guy's going to the Hall of Fame.
You dialed in a Final Four this weekend or so-so?
So-so. I've been so-so on the college basketball this year.
I know you're a big NBA guy. Are you a big college hoops guy, or is it like give or take?
Normally, I am. Normally, I'm a big college guy, but just this year with like COVID and then honestly, a lot of the guys like Jalen Green and those guys went to the G League, like Jonathan Kuminga. You know what I'm saying? So some of the bigger names that was in the class of 2019. Ended up in the G League, so I was like, you know, I just kind of took a year off from college basketball.
Well, you got listen, you got a ton of basketball to watch anyway. I see you like at every Brooklyn Net game, knowing the Met. Have you you've like adopted the Nets as your squad, basically. Is that fair to say?
I'm a fair weather fan, bro. I can't really sit here and pretend like I'm a diehard basketball fan. I jumped from the Lakers to the Warriors to now Brooklyn. And then, you know, if the Knicks get good, I'll go to the Knicks too. So
yeah, listen
I'm a diehard, obviously I'm a diehard Raider. And I can only take so much heartache as a sports fan. Like the Raiders are not really good, you know, and it's hard being a diehard Raider fan. So in the wintertime, when I'm watching basketball, I need something to like feel good. I need something to cheer for and feel like my team's doing good. So I normally see who's the best team in the NBA and I root for them.
Well, CeCe, that's like me, man. I mean, I rooted for you all those years with the Yankees, and I have the Dolphins and the Knicks to kind of like balance out.
That's
although,
how you balance it out.
Hey, listen, my Dolphins are on the rise. My Knicks is somewhat on the rise.
So do the Dolphins draft a quarterback this year?
No way. No
what?
Way. Nah, bro, you got to stick with Tua. You got Oof. CeCe's coming off the hip. They got 2 first-round picks.
He may not never come off that hip, bro.
But you know what, though? See, I took him over Herbert last year, which right now ain't looking too good.
Mm-mm.
It ain't. And CeCe, I was screaming when I wanted Tua bad, man, because I loved him at Bama. I thought he was a stud at Bama. They got to give him this year, though. They got the coach. They got the weapons now. They signed Fuller. They're going to draft either Smith, the Pitts, I think. Make or break, bro. Second year, man. I hate to say it. Second year quarterbacks make or break, but he's make
or
break.
Yeah, but then if this doesn't work out, then you got to start all over. And, like, who's the quarterbacks that are coming up now? Like, are there any, like, really good draft prospects? Like, I mean, I love Justin Fields, man.
He's
like,
going to fall,
Trevor
too.
Lawrence. That's what I'm saying. Like,
are you hoping the Raiders take a quarterback?
You know what I hope? This is what I want. After I just watched Brady go down to Tampa and win the Super Bowl, I want Aaron Rodgers to get into a fight with Green Bay.
Ah, I see where you're going
here. This
be
his last year. Him come to Vegas after next year and take us to the Super Bowl.
I can see you on the sideline already. CC with the Raider cap.
That's Aaron my vision. I've already seen it. Brady just did it.
If the Dolphins are playing the Raiders, by the way, you get me out there, big boy. I need you on the silver. I'll wear my throwback Marino jersey. I'll even rock the straight brim Dolphin hat just for you.
No doubt.
Hopefully my team sticks it to you like we did the day after Christmas. I said, wow, I don't know if I could bring this up to CC yet. It might be like a sensitive subject. But I was like, he's got the Raiders sweatshirt on, bro.
I didn't want the Raiders in the playoffs this year anyway. I knew they wasn't going to make it. It was no chance.
Yeah, well, listen, at least you didn't have your heart broken like I did in week 17, man. You had to happen a couple weeks early.
But I appreciate you coming on. Let's get into this Francisco Lindor conversation.
Let's do it, bro. Let's welcome in a guy who needs no introduction. He's now going to be a part of New York royalty for the next 10 years. And I got to admit, when I was asked to do this podcast, I was a little nervous because I'm like, geez, if he doesn't sign a contract, this is going to be super awkward. Let's welcome in the newest New York Met, Francisco Lindor. What's happening, Francisco?
Chilling, man. Living life. Enjoying the ride, man.
Man, congratulations on the deal, bro. How's it feel, like, having that done, knowing you're going to be somewhere for the next 10 years, probably be able to retire somewhere? Like, how does that feel?
Man, it feels great. It feels great, CeCe. You know how it is. You finally settle, you know? You play the first couple of years of your career not knowing what's going to happen, thinking that's going to be your home. And now suddenly, like, all right, 2, 3, 4 years in, you know, that's not going to be your home because at some point they're going to trade you. And then now you finally sign the deal and it's like, all right, now I can buy something. I know my daughter is going to grow up somewhere for sure. And I don't have to be moving. I don't have to be renting anymore. Thank God.
Yeah, put your roots down in New York, get you a spring training place in Florida and just be good, yeah. Right?
Yeah, man. Yeah, I can't wait. I can't wait for that.
Well, Francisco, you know, I'm talking about you nonstop. I'm doing radio all week and I'm dealing with crazy Met fans. Was there any doubt? You know, like, there's so much talk, there's so much back and forth. You know, you're the player. Kind of take me through what this last week has been like. Were you, like, wondering, man, am I going to have this contract by opening day? Am I going to be, you know, playing this final year out, going to a new home? Or were you kind of confident the whole way that you, your team, and the Mets were going to find a way to reach a deal?
I was very optimistic that we had a chance. You know, there was a deal to be done. When I sat down with Steve, that was one thing he said. There's a deal to be done here, you know. But if the number wasn't right, yeah, I mean, I'll go to free agency. People are – some players are a little bit scared of free agency, or fans get scared of free agency because you might not perform there as high as you want to perform or people want you to perform. At the end of the day, man, it's another year of arbitration. That's kind of how I saw it. It's arbitration. Just go out there and just do what I got to do. Then this arbitration might pay for the next 10 years. You know, that's kind of how I was seeing it. I believe in what I can do, man. I believe that I can hit the ball and I can catch the ball. So as long as I can do those two things, I'll be fine.
Man, so, you know, I know, you know, you got drafted by the Indians. I know what that organization means to players that, you know, come up through that organization and, you know, how close everybody is there. Like, what was that moment like when you knew you were going to get traded? And, like, when did you feel like you knew you were going to get traded?
Well, the Indians organization, first, it was a class act organization. They helped me a lot at the beginning. The fans were great. I had some of my best friends our organization or came from that organization. The moment I knew I was going to get traded, man, was as soon as we finished the season and I knew the owners weren't going to go in the direction I wanted to go. You know, they gave me a good offer for what they thought it was a good offer for that organization. It didn't work out. And as soon as we finished the season, I'm like, all right, this is it. I think I'm done here. You know, I don't think I'll be back next season. And then it became real around Christmas time when they called me and say, hey, I know there's a lot of talks out there. We're considering things. It's like, all right, yeah, it's going to happen. I'm gone for sure. And you understand. Thank God I have a good agent that have educated me since the beginning. You know, like, hey, this is a business. This is why things happen this way. This is why things go in this order. So I wasn't as heartbroken, you know. I didn't take it as they don't want my service anymore, you know. I took it as, like, well, this is part of the business. It is what it is. It is what it is.
Hey, you better than me because I took it hard. I ain't gonna lie, like, because I got drafted there and I was so close with Segs and Tony and Josh and literally everybody there, you know what I'm saying? So for me, even though I knew, you know, they traded Manny, they traded Tony, everybody before me I got traded, I was just like, nah, like, I'm different. Like, you know, like, maybe they'll try to offer me a contract. And I remember halfway through 2007, I was like, man, I'm out of here. Like, it just hit me where I was like, there's no way I'm gonna be able to finish my career here. So that was a little tougher for me. I wish somebody would have educated me earlier, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, man. That's kind of how it was here. You know, you start seeing players get traded or players not coming back because they go to free agency and they don't offer it then anything. You know, it happened to Brantley, happened to Kluber, happened to Santana. It happened to the guys that were the guys when I was coming up. And it was like, all right. And some of the players told me, it's like, hey, once you go to free agency, you're not coming back. They might extend you, but if you hit free agency, you're not coming back. They're not going to sign you. And I'm like, all right, we'll see. We'll see. They didn't let me get a free agency. They traded me.
You played there a long time, Francisco. You played in the World Series. You hit a home run. I got to admit, bro, the following year, you played CC's team that game two against my Yankees, and you pimped that home run the right field against Chad Green. I'm like, they can't get this Lindor guy out. You think about your time as a Cleveland Indian, El Francisco. What is, like, do you have a favorite memory that, like, stands out all your years of playing there?
Ooh, favorite memory with the Indians. Playoffs. Yankee series was fun, but I like the Toronto series. That series was like, hey, we letting everybody know we for real. You know, we for real. We're not joking around. People, yeah, Boston, yeah, we swept Boston. It was wicked. Boom, boom, boom. So people were like,
I was happy
yeah,
about
whatever,
that, but Francisco. Not going to lie there. I was happy about that when you guys swept Boston. That was okay.
it was just, we just outplayed them. We outplayed them in every aspect of the game. You know, we hit, we pitched, we feel better, we ran the bases better. So that's the outcome, you know. But the Toronto series, you know, it was like they were the big monster that year that people had to take down. And it's like you win the first game, you win the second game. All right, boys, you know, it's getting late for the other team. They better step it up. Then we win the third game. And then it's like, all right, you know, we in Toronto, you see people's faces like, oh my God, this Indians team real. I was scared as shit, man. That whole series, I was scared as shit. it was my first playoff experience. I remember Miller coming in around the fifth inning. I was kind of used them the whole entire series every day.
Every day.
He came in. Yeah, he came in and he looked at me and said, hey, ground ball to you, dope play. And I was like, okay. All right. And they hit like a low line drive, one hop to me. And I was just like panicking. I started backpedaling. God, I got rid of it. As soon as I got rid of it, I was like, thank God. You know, and I remember getting out of the inning. I'm sprinting to the dugout and I sit in the corner in the clubhouse. You know, Toronto's clubhouse, you got to go all the way up and then make a left. I hide where they put the bats. I'm hiding back there with a stomachache. And Miller walks by me. I stand up real quick and he was like, you all right? I'm like, yeah. Yeah. I'm like, yeah. Keep doing you, man. Keep doing you. I was scared as shit.
Yo, John, you got to know it. In Toronto, you got to, when you go in the clubhouse, in the dugout, you got to go down these stairs, up these stairs, and then to the left. But then where he's talking about, it's like this little nook where the bats are.
Oh, geez.
So you can
okay.
easily walk by it. It's like a little hiding spot. So him describing that is hilarious. You know what I'm saying? And then Miller walking by, like, I can definitely see you in there where the bats are, like, just trying to get your shit together.
Yeah, I'm hiding. I'm like, holy shit. If this game don't finish, I'm going to put my pants back to the game.
That's crazy. So I got another question about, you know, you coming up and playing. Obviously, I know you grew up in Puerto Rico and, you know, playing in Florida. You play for FTB and all of that stuff. When did you start playing baseball? And, like, when did you know that you were going to be good enough to maybe get drafted? I know my son's playing for that team that you played for in the summertime with you and Javi. So you guys are like the first kind of like AAU baseball babies, like, you know, famous off right out of high school off IG and stuff, hitting homers. So what was that like?
I started playing. I was 4 years old in Puerto Rico. And I remember growing up, like being like around 8 or 9, I remember playing Baez. I played Barrios. They were good. That their school was good. And then I went to the States. I lost sight of Baez and the whole group. And then All American comes around, and I find Baez. Baez is my team. And Jose Fernandez, rest in peace, on our team. Bichette's brother was in the team. Yeah, I think he was in the team. Maybe, no, he wasn't in the team.
Dante?
Dante wasn't in the team, in the All-American. But I remember just seeing Baez. I'm like, bro, we got to play together. We got to play child ball together, bro. Let's make this happen. So,
are you guys fighting over who plays shortstop, by the way, Francisco, with you and Baez on the team?
Nah,
I'd
man.
Be fighting over that
nah,
shortstop
nah,
position.
Nah, because it's AAU, bro. Let the agency, if the agent wanted to decide, but I didn't care, you know. I'll play short, let Baez play short the next game, you know, and go back and forth, you know. But Baez, the funny thing with Baez, he was a catcher. So he played for the East Cup team, Astros.
Okay.
And they had him catching and playing center field. And I was like, bro, play with us. And he goes, I don't have to catch and play center field. I'm like, nah, bro, come play with us. And he's like, all right, yeah. So it was like that travel team was Jesse Winker, Dante Bichette, Almora, Fernandez, Henry Owens, Baez.
Oh, wow.
We had a bunch of guys in that team. It was Daniel Vogelbach was in the team. It was just stupid. I thought it was a professional baseball team.
That is a professional. Yeah, you just named a bunch of professional baseball players.
I feel bad for the suckers that were playing against you guys, Francisco. I feel bad for those kids.
Yeah, we beat up in a lot of kids, for sure. We ended up losing, though. We lost the last tournament.
To Canes?
I think so. I think it was the Canes. Yeah, I think so. We ended up losing, man.
That was about right.
I think we lost 1-0 or something like that. It was like, man, with this lineup, how come we can't score one run? But, yeah.
Francisco, I can tell talking to you for like 15 minutes, man, you are going to love New York City, man. And New York City is going to love you. Like, there are certain guys, where I wonder about like their personality and I wonder about how they're going to deal with the media. Dude, you're coming from Cleveland now. This is the Big Apple. This guy who I'm doing this podcast with did the exact same thing. See, what would be from one now like transplanted New Yorker to another, your biggest advice to Mr. Personality over here now is he's going to be the star for the Mets.
Just to be himself. Like you said, his personality is so great. Like the smile, you know, it translates, you know, to his team and it just lifts everybody up. So just being himself, I think that was the easiest thing I found is, you know, Derek told me when I first got here, he was like, man, don't try to be nothing else but other than yourself. When you're standing in front of your locker, answer the questions how you would answer them. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, this is New York. The media is bigger, but they want to see you be authentic. And his authentic self, like you said, just draws people in. So, yeah, I mean, I think he's gonna kill it here, man. I'm super excited for, you know, him, you know, obviously coming from the same organization and then coming to New York, we know we kind of took the similar path. So I'm excited to see him, you know, thrive here. And I know he can for sure.
Thank you. Yeah, I guess this is what a lot of people have been telling me, you know, be myself. And I appreciate that. Especially coming from you. You did it and you did it the right way. I'm excited, man.
I also think, John, too, like coming from the Indians organization, though, I think that place is special where they let you grow up. They let you find yourself. You know what I mean? They don't try to change you too much. You know, I feel like I was blessed to be able to be drafted by them. And because if I would have came to New York as a 20-year-old, I would have been in this city for like maybe 2 months. You know what I'm saying? So
eat you up, man. It can eat you up.
Get a chance to grow up in New York. I mean, in Cleveland, and then come to New York as an adult, as a 28-year-old, definitely helped me. So I owe that organization a lot too of how I matured and was able to, you know, kind of come into myself as a pitcher in Cleveland.
Now, Francisco, you're tight with Gio. Have you guys worked out now, like the Subway Series bed? Are you guys hanging out that week? Are you guys not talking to one another? I know anytime you guys would play the Yankees, you and Gio would be like giving each other shit basically the whole time. I'm like watching on TV. I'm like, man, these guys are having some fun. So have you guys like worked that out yet? Or is that still like TBD?
Nah, it's to be determined, man. We haven't really talked about it. He's my brother, you know. I love the guy, and I just love competing against him. You know, I love taking hits away from him. And he's gonna try to do the same thing to me, you know. And the coolest part about Gio, it's if I ask him about any pitcher, he don't tell me. He don't tell me shit. And I'm like, bro. I'm like, bro, he's like, nah, man, I ain't telling you, you know, and that's respect right there. You know, I love that. And he's the ultimate competitor. You know, he's going to go out there and have fun. I'm going to do the same thing, you know, and that's why I try to take every hit from him because he ain't giving me shit.
I love that, man. I see you guys work out too in the offseason all the time,
yeah.
Riding bikes and different things. Now that you got all the money, I'm sure you're gonna have to buy him a new bike now, right?
he's in that rich ratio. He's making money. He's doing some things. No, it's always been good. You know, it's always been good. We always have that good relationship, but we've been bouncing back and forth. Like, all right, I'll take the bill today. You take it tomorrow. All right, I'll drive today. You drive tomorrow. You know, it's always been back and forth. Except one time in Arizona, that I paid for the damn dinner, and he wanted me to drive back. I'm like, hell no, bro. I paid today.
I'm paying for dinner. I'm getting the ride back. Yeah, man. The hell with that. Francisco, him play, bro. When he was super young and you were the established guy and he's kind of like the up and comer, are you surprised with the success that Gio has had with the Yankees or not really?
No, not at all, man. Not at all. He's always been able to do what he's doing right now. He's a defense player first and he could always hit. I think he needed to find a place for him that was going to work for him. You know, Cleveland is great, and Cleveland was a good spot for him. But when he got the chance, he got hurt. And then he was fighting for that chance again. Then in Toronto, same thing. You know, he was fighting for that chance. Then he goes to New York, And once he finally took that, they gave him that chance, he capitalized on it. You know, he capitalized on it. And he loved the vibe of New York. He likes that. He likes that. He's a quiet guy, but he likes that. He thrives on, like, people screaming, people cheering him. And he tries in all that. He tries on people doubting him. So I never doubted he was going to do what he's doing right now.
It just seemed like once he got into our lineup, he was just able to, like, not like, he just, like, unlocked his swing where he could just take bigger swings. You know what I'm saying? Because he's in a lineup where he's not expected to really, he wasn't expected to really produce at the beginning. So he was able to just, like, take, like, his monster hacks or take his 2-0 big hack where he's just trying to go deep. Right. You know what I'm saying? Or hit a ball hard instead of trying to actually just get a hit or make contact. And I think he started barreling some balls and confidence just started rolling. And next thing you know, you look up there 2 months later, he's hitting 330. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? It was just like, and just line drives all over the field. Yeah. So it was just fun to be able to see him come up, get that chance, and just and run with it.
Yeah,
no,
nah, New York has been the great place for him. It's the right place at the right time for him. You know, I think he feels very comfortable. And like you said, he was allowed to be himself in New York, which you would think it would be the opposite, but he was allowed to be himself. You know, he had room to make mistakes. And when he made mistakes, people didn't care because they weren't expecting anything. Then when he got hidden, people didn't care because they weren't expecting anything. And then all of a sudden, man, this kid doesn't stop hitting. Man, this kid doesn't stop making plays. Oh, wait, we got to count on you, you know? And that's next thing you know, he's big time. He's big time.
Do you have a preference, Francisco? Met fans have asked me this all the time, and I have a couple of buddies who can't wait to see you in the lineup. They're like, well, where's Francisco going to hit? Is he going to lead off? Is he going to hit second? Is he going to hit third? Do you care, or you just get in the lineup, do your thing, and, you know, let your play do the talking?
Man, to be honest, I'll hit wherever. But second, I like second. You know, I think it allows me to be more creative. You know, because there's more situational hitting and there's times where there's nobody on base. So it's allows me to be a little more creative. But at the end of the day, I'll do what I got to do. You know, I'm me. I'm going to hit wherever I hit. I'm going to be me. You know, I'm going to drive the baseball. I'm a bunt. I'm a, if I have to get the guy over, I'll get the guy over. You know, it's just, I'm comfortable right now hitting second. All spring was fun. So we'll see. I mean, I'm thinking I'm hitting second.
You know what? I always like facing you with, it's facing everybody, but when facing you with runners on was always harder to pitch to you because, like you said, situational hitting. You would, like, take the changeup and go to right field or take the backdoor slider and hit it up the middle. You know what I'm saying? Or even not even swing at the cutter because you're trying to move the runner. So, like, when you have runners on, it's a totally different at bat facing you because you are so smart and can't do so many different things with the barrel of the bat. We're runners on it, then if you are leading off the game, you know what I'm saying?
Sure. When there's people on base, it allows me to do different things. You know, it allows me to do different things. When there's nobody on, I got to get a hit. So I just got to get a good pitch and hit it. When there's somebody on second, no outs, I can get jammed. It's okay. You know, go the other way. Was the guy on second and third, no outs, now I can hit a pop-up. You know, the other way. Not pull it. Go the other way with a pop-up. When there's a guy third, one out, now is my time. You know, I can let it eat. So yeah, when I like hitting with people on base, it allows me to be different, because I can have different results and still be successful. I can roll over and still be successful. I can hit a pop up and still be successful. You know, hit a base, I'm successful.
Okay, Francisco. You now are a New Yorker through and through. What is the big meal going to be? CC, you have any recommendations, bro? Listen, you're in New York. CC now, Francisco, is Mr. New York. You know, remember, CC, remember that. In like 2008, the narrative was, oh, this guy don't want to play here. He wants to stay in California. Francisco now, CC is like the unofficial mayor. Like you see him in Brooklyn. He's down with Cali in my neck of the woods. He's all over the place. So has Francisco Lindor thought about when I get back to New York and, you know, we're through COVID or whatever, and I can go out and have a meal to celebrate, where's Francisco Lindor having that big meal, bro?
I don't know, man.
CeCe, what do we got, man? What's the recommendation?
Well, I was gonna say, what's your favorite place when you came in town? Like when you were with the Indians? Like what was the favorite place to go?
Well, we stayed near Del Frisco's, so that was usually the place I was running into. And it was always open late, so I would just go there. I love pizza, man. There's a pizza place called.
There you go.
Prince Street Pizza.
Yes. Yeah. CeCe, I think you're up on it. CeCe's up on the wall there, Francisco. Yo, we gotta work on that. Get him up on the wall.
The pizza, guy.
Yeah. I hit that spot many, many times already. I actually went.
You know who put me on that spot? Stroman put me on that spot.
Oh, for real?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, bro. I love that place. I remember like 3 years ago. I went there and they recognized me. Like, hey, come on in. They took me all the way down to the basement and we were eating pizza down there. It was the best. Nice. So then now, every time I hit New York, I always stop by.
Yeah. All right. So it's a place in Brooklyn called Locales.
Oh, it's so good, CeCe. So bro, good. Melts pizza, in your mouth, baby.
Yo, it's crazy, bro. Really? I'm telling you. Like, yeah, really?
I know, Francisco, so you got to get to Brooklyn now, but that's okay. That's my neck of the woods, bro.
That's the spot. Yeah. In the summertime, when stuff opened up, definitely get to Lucali's, bro. That place is crazy.
Yeah, I'll be hitting that up for sure. I got it. I'll be hitting that up for sure, no doubt. I love pizza, man. I can eat pizza all day, man.
That makes three of us, I think.
So you're in the right city then.
Francisco, is there somebody now on the Mets? You know, you've been there now, went through a spring training, you're getting ready for the start of the year. Is there somebody already right out of the gate you're super tight with?
Well, we have Edwin Diaz and Tomas Nido. You know, those two guys, they're from Puerto Rico. I actually played with Tomas Nido when we were 10, 11 years old. We were in the same team growing up. And Edwin Diaz, you know, being from Puerto Rico, those are the two guys that I hang out with the most right now. But everybody's cool, man. Everybody's cool in the team. That's one of the reasons why I decided to stay here. You know, because they could offer me all the money in the world. If I didn't like it, I ain't staying. I'm not gonna live life miserable for the next 10 years. You know. The guys here are cool. They're cool. I like them. They're younger players. I want to get better. I want to win. And that's what it's all about.
Yeah, it's a clubhouse full of good character. I mean, you got Dom Smith in there. You got my little brother, Dylan Betances, in there. Jairus Familia. So it's a good clubhouse. And that filling out the clubhouse, that's a Cleveland trait. Because, you know, like, that's the thing. Like, the clubhouse culture is something that they pay attention to in their organization. So that was the biggest thing. That was like, John, that was one of the reasons why people were saying I didn't want to come here is because of the clubhouse culture that they had here. I thought it was messed up. So I was like, I don't want to be a part of that. Like, I came from a place where that's all that mattered. More than winning, it mattered how the guys treated each other in the clubhouse.
Yeah.
So that's all I ever knew. So that's why that was my reservation about coming to New York.
Francisco, he changed that, though, because the following year, the Yankees were fun. You know, like, they were this corporate, you know, stuck-up clubhouse. CeCe's in there, Swisher's in there, Burnett's in there. And they go in there, and they're letting it rip. They're blasting music. They're pieing people in the face. He's the main reason why, you know, I got to have a championship in the last 11 years, bro. Years, Francisco, that's like 100, you know?
Yeah, no, that's good because he's right, man. The Indians, that clubhouse, it didn't matter who was coming. If you didn't adjust to our clubhouse, you out. You can't be – this is not about who's got more time, who's got less time, who's better. No. We're going to respect each other. We're going to have fun, and we're going to go out there, and then we're going to compete. You know, this is the most important thing. Nobody wants to go to a workplace and it sucks.
And they preach that. Like, they preach that. That's a Cleveland trait, for real.
CeCe, I don't know if you heard Francisco say this yesterday. I saw it on Twitter, Francisco, and then I went back and I rewatched the clip. CeCe, they asked Francisco, what is he going to look like at 9 years to 10 years into the contract? He goes, I'm going to be a bad MF-er. I'm like, this guy gets it, man. This guy fucking gets it. I didn't know if I could drop an F-bomb, but that's okay.
That's my podcast. You can cuss on here.
Awesome, dude. Francisco, did you think about that or did that just like come to you? Like, yeah, I'm going to be a bad MF-er.
No, it just came to me. Like, as he was talking, I knew where he was trying to head, like, get me to. And I'm like, ah, right, bro, this, his name is Anthony. I'm like, Anthony, I'll be a bad mother effer, you know? Like I mean, I believe I will. Am I going to be like that? Who knows? But I know I'm going to give it everything I got. I'm going to work as hard as I can. So when I'm 38, yeah, I'm still one of the best.
Absolutely.
Francisco, thanks so much, man.
Yeah.
Listen, just take it. Do me a favor. Go have a great year. Go win an MVP. But I hope you go for like 0-30 against the Yankees this year. That's it. Save all your hits for the National League East and don't get any hits against the Yankees, okay?
Man, I think if I go 0-30 against the Yankees, they might boo me when I get it back to Queens. So
yeah, that's going to be a problem.
Let me get a couple of hits. Let me get a couple of hits and we'll split. You know, the difference in hits and stuff, and we'll see. We'll see what happens, man.
Let's just pray for a Subway Series in the World Series.
That'd be fun. I don't know if I can handle that stress, though. See, that's why you guys are the players, though. I couldn't handle that. I'd be walking up and down my block at like 5 in the morning dealing with Met fans. Francisco, that's why you and CeCe are studs, and I'm, you know, the lowly broadcaster. That's why.
Appreciate you guys.
All right, that was it. That was a great conversation from Lindor. Thank you again, John. We'll be back next week, another week, R2C2. See you guys on Thursday. Peace.